I believe that's a fairly familiar reading for most everyone who is a child of God. Jesus taught some very good lessons in the parables, and everything that he taught had a meaning for us that we can draw some very important points from in our own life today. But as we've been studying for the last several weeks in our Bible study about stewardship, I wanted to work this lesson in this morning from the pulpit about being a responsible and honest steward. We see that there are such things as dishonest stewards and such things as honest stewards. So you and I have a choice. I'm either going to be honest with the Lord and honest with my life and honest in the way I deal with the things He's entrusted with me, or I'm going to be dishonest. And so he talks about the fact that dishonesty will not hold up. Making friends with the people of the world will not hold up. But the fact is that we ought to be loyal to our master and be faithful to him. And our master, of course, is God. And Jesus Christ, his son, is the one that we're following as disciples of Christ, as a child of God. Jesus saved us with his blood that he shed on the cross for our sins. And so we ought to be good stewards of that. And so this rich man, Jesus said, had a manager. And of course, the manager is referred to as the steward. Steward is a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. So this rich man that had this manager or this steward that was in charge of his possessions, he was squandering them. He wasn't taking care of them as he should have. And that's like we talked in our class this morning. Our body is part of the things that God has put in our possession. So we don't need to squander our body. We don't need to waste our body. We don't need to abuse our body. But in this sense, generally speaking, whatever we have oversight over, whatever we have the ability to manage because God has placed it in our position, our possession, then we need to take care of it and not waste it and not abuse it and not misuse it. And he says, and he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." So each one of us is going to give an account unto God for the way that we've handled the things that God has placed in our possession. And so these things belong to God. I'm just using them. These things belong to God. You're just using them. So whether it be the house we live in, the car we drive, the job we have, the things we possess as far as our family, everything in life is in our control, but God expects us to use it in the way, in the fashion in which He's laid out in His Word so that we practice good control over those things, so that we are successful then in being a good steward. Well, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, we see there that in all those verses that Donald just read, in verse 10, notice that Jesus explains that the manager who is faithful even in the least things will be faithful also in much. Look at verse 10. He said, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust also in much." So we're either going to be faithful, we're going to be just, or we're going to be unfaithful and unjust. We're going to be good stewards or poor stewards, one of the two. So each one here today, we're here to worship God. We're here to serve Him. We're here to grow in the faith. We're here to do the things that God asks us to do. So I know everyone's attitude is that I want to be a good steward. And so I also want to be a good steward. So let's look at some of these things this morning from the Bible that would talk about being a responsible and honest steward. We need to be responsible for all the things we have. Again, Jesus said there in verses 11 and 12, He said, "And if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you?" So trust is given. Trust needs to be earned by making sure that that which we're entrusted with is handled in the proper way. "And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" So if we can't be faithful in that which someone has entrusted to us to take care of, who's going to give us that which is our own? So we need to be faithful and honest and just in our stewardship. So emphasis then in Luke chapter 16, verses 11 and 12, is placed on your duty and my duty, is placed on each one's duties to do what? To be an honest and good steward, or an honest and good manager of the things that God has placed in our control while we're in this life. So this is a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility for me. It's a great responsibility for you. God has entrusted certain things to us, and so that responsibility is great. That responsibility is very important, and that responsibility needs to be fulfilled faithfully by me and by you. You cannot fulfill my duties for me as a steward. You can't do my part. I cannot do your part for you as your, in your stewardship, because all of us have a stewardship of our own. God has placed in your hands and in my hands so many things. So he says, take care of those things. Be a good manager. So some areas this morning that this won't cover, it won't even scratch the surface of all the things that the Bible talks about that we really need to be taking care of, that God's placed in our responsibility to care for and be good stewards of. But some areas where God has entrusted us to be good stewards is, number one, the care of our soul. Our soul, then, is the most important possession we have. After all, the Bible teaches us that our soul is eternal. Our spirit is eternal. And so, my soul and your soul is the most important possession we have, because when we leave this body, the spirit is going to go back to God who gave it, and the spirit is going to be somewhere forever and ever and ever, never ending, either heaven or hell. So it's important how you manage your soul. It's important how I manage my soul. This spirit that God has placed in this body, it is eternal. The body is going to go back to the dust of the earth, but the spirit's so important, because who wants to be forever and ever and ever in a place called hell that burneth with fire and brimstone? But we understand that in the Bible there's an option. We can go to the Father. We can be saved in heaven eternally, to be there around the throne of God, singing praises, rejoicing, and honoring Him forever and ever and ever, where there's no night, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no tear, there's no wickedness, there's no liars, there's no sinfulness, but all will be happiness, all will be glad in that land. So certainly we should take care of our souls. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon that was recorded after the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem in AD 33, he preached to those Jews on that day about Jesus, the Son of God, who had died and shed His blood, who God had provided for them to shed His blood for them, that God had not left His body in the grave, but had raised Him from the grave. And now Jesus said, He is now seated at the right hand of God. God has provided salvation for you and for us through Jesus, the Son of God, who is the seed of David. So Jesus is the Savior. And in verse 40, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we need to be able to care for our soul, in that we would follow the plan that God has given us to save our soul. It's important that we follow God's plan, because we can't save our soul outside of God's plan. We can't save our soul by adding to or taking from God's plan. So when he said there in verse 40, and with many words he exhorted them, testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this untoward or perverse generation. It was important for these people to receive God's plan and take care of their soul by repenting of their sins, being baptized for the remission of their sins. That was the plan God had, so they could have their soul cared for by coming to Him in faith. So today, are we going to save ourselves from a perverse generation if we engage in that will cause us to lose our soul? Are we going to manage our soul, care for our soul, and save our soul by obeying God's Word and being good stewards to obey that Word? Look over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. When we see that there are so many things that we are encouraged to do by Paul and Jesus and Peter and the other apostles, but here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter declared there that as newborn babes, that is, those who baptized into Christ, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So, if we want to care for our soul, we save our soul by doing what God asks. When we hear the Word and we believe it, as these people did on Pentecost, we're told to repent of our sins, that we do repent of our sins, turn from them, and that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, as they were told to do. And then the Lord adds us to the church, Acts 2:47, and as newborn babes in Christ, what are we to do? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. So how do we care for our soul? We hear God's Word. We believe it. By faith, we obey it. And as we obey it, and we're obeying it, we're studying, we're growing, we're learning, we're improving every day to serve God faithfully. That's the care of our soul, because God cares for us every day. He gives us the means by which we can continue to care for our soul through His Word. So we need to be good stewards and get into the Word and study and learn and listen and save our souls by the virtue of fact that God will save us when we by faith obey Him. Secondly, another area that God has entrusted us to be good stewards is the care of our physical body. We talked about this extensively in our class this morning, but I want to go back and read just a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse 15. And we'll go through verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." So, how do we care for our physical body? Verse 18. "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, taking care of our soul, which dwells within the physical body, that's my responsibility and your responsibility. If we're going to be good stewards, we have to also take care of the body that God has put us in possession of. And we mentioned those things this morning. Don't abuse our body with drugs, with alcohol, with whether they be legal or illegal, by the standard of human government, because those are things that we should abstain from. Don't abuse our bodies with sexual immorality. Don't abuse our bodies by the wrong type of eating and just engaging in things we know is going to damage our body. Don't do that. And take care of our bodies by giving them the proper physical exercise and giving them the proper amount of rest. So care for our body. God put that responsibility on your shoulders to take care of your body, and on my shoulders to take care of mine. So, take care of the most important part, the soul. The second most important part that we have is our body. That is us. Two rolled into one. God has put that responsibility to us. Well, in our life, as we go through taking care of our soul and our body, there are other people that we come in contact that we ought to have care for. And when we take a wife, as a man, we marry the love of our life, and she becomes our wife, or she takes the man that she loves to be her husband. Nonetheless, we have the care then for our wives. As husbands, we care for our wives, and as wives, we're to care for our husband. That's how God planned it. So we're to be good stewards in our marriage relationship, that the wife would care for her husband, and he would care for his wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're not going to read all these verses, but I want to go back and look at just a few of them, because in this chapter, as you're already familiar with and already know, that the body is important, the body of the wife, the body of the man is important, and that we ought to care for one another mentally and physically. So in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul addresses that relationship, that care that that husband and wife should have for one another. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So as a steward, I have a responsibility to take care of that which God has given me, and that is my wife. I have a responsibility as a husband to love her, to respect her, to care for her, to cherish her, to nourish her, to protect her, to provide for her. And then, we see then that verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So the Bible teaches that the wife ought to love and respect her husband. So that there's that mutual care, that mutual responsibility that husbands and wives have toward one another. So the question is, what kind of steward am I in regard to my responsibilities to my wife? What kind of steward are you? What kind of steward are you as a wife in your responsibility toward your husband? Are we fulfilling our responsibilities that God has placed in our possession to take care of? Well, the care of our children, right there where we were, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Of course, mothers and older women are taught to teach the younger women and to teach their children. So we understand that as parents, we have responsibilities to do what? Care for our children. So the man or the woman who has children that will not properly care for them from the spiritual aspect, teaching them the Word of God, being a good example to them from the Word of God, letting their light so shine and doing good so they can see Christ in you. Are you being a good steward? Are we being good stewards of our children and grandchildren by being that example that we should be? By being the example that God requires us to be? Are we caring for our children's soul by not only teaching them verbally and showing them what the Bible says and bringing them up and warning them about the dangers of life and encouraging them in the way they ought to go, but are we setting that example by living it? Can they see in us Christ? Can they see in us honesty and uprightness and purity and cleanliness and a willingness to give for them? Can our children see that? Can they trust us? Or are we requiring things of our children that we won't do ourselves? If we are, then we are not good stewards toward our children. If we require something of our children that God requires of them, then if it's required of them, it's required of us that we too would be good, obedient to God. And so, caring for our children. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. It's important that we bring them up and care for our children out of love, teaching them the Word of God. We love them. We want them to be saved. We want their spirit, their soul to be saved. We love them. We care for them. We want them to be safe and secure and to have healthy bodies, to be strong physically. Let's take care of them as parents. Let's set that example. How is a dad going to set example? How is a grandparent going to set an example to a grandson and so that grandson will not use tobacco or alcohol if he sees granddaddy doing it? How is a granddaddy or a daddy going to set a good example to his son or his daughter and let them know that they need to speak truth, that they need to use good words and think on good things if they hear their dad or their granddad using curse words or swearing or telling filthy jokes? What about that? How are we going to teach our children not to be reckless with their money and not gamble and not engage in things that are wrong like that if they see and hear and know that their dad or their granddad is gambling? So you see, it's important that we understand the gravity of being a good steward And some things that may pass through sometimes our mind that we're doing, what an impact it is on our children. We need to be good stewards and take care of our children spiritually, physically, and being a good example to them. Well, taking care and being a good steward, God has entrusted us to be good steward of our talents and our abilities. Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 through 30 talks about the judgment wherein all nations will be gathered before the Lord and they'll be judged. And so they're going to come before Him, both the sheep and the goats. That is, those that have done good and those who have not done right. And so everyone will be judged, both the just and the unjust. And so, in that parable of the talents, everyone was held responsible for what they did or what they didn't do. And Jesus gave the example there that, you know, there were those that hadn't obeyed Him. And He said, depart and cast them into everlasting fire. Well, what was they didn't do? Well, He said, because I was hungry and you fed me not. I was cold and you didn't clothe me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. He was out and he wasn't asked in. So they didn't do it. If you didn't do it unto him, under one of these, you didn't do it unto him. But if you did it under one of these, if you cared for them, did what you should to them, then you did it unto the Lord. So what kind of stewards are we being with our abilities and our talents? Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 14, there's the idea of the talents. Those who have talents, we can't go and hide our talent and not use it. He holds us responsibility for using our talents. And using our talents means that we will grow and we will increase our talents. So, are we using our abilities? Are we increasing our abilities? Are we using our talents and growing in the work of serving God every day? And then are we using our talents and our abilities to do the things that's right toward other people? Caring for those. And he talks about visiting those that are in prison or caring for those that need clothing or whatever or food. And you didn't give them any of that, then you did it not unto me. And so, but if you did these things, you did it unto me, he said. So, there's that area again wherein God has entrusted us the use of our talents. Are we working to increase our abilities? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verses 5 through 12 talks about, you know, add to your faith virtue, to knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He says, if these things be in you in abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he's purged from his past sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, you know, the idea is that it would have been better not to have known these things than to have known them and not done them. And so, are we taking care of our abilities and talents and using them? So, the proper care of our time, that's the last point of some areas that God has entrusted us to be good stewards. Are we using our time? Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. Paul encouraged the Christians there to use time wisely, to walk in wisdom, to use their time as God would have them to. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Using our time wisely. In James 4, 13 and 14, the emphasis, use our time wisely because we don't know how much time we got. There in James 4, 13, he says, go to now, you who say, today and tomorrow we're going to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Time is of importance to us. How are we using our time? So God has placed these things and many more in our responsibility. He's entrusted our soul, our physical body, our husband or wife, our children, our talents and abilities, and our time. Are we being good stewards of all these things? Well, as a faithful stewards, our allegiance must be to God because God is the one to whom we must be faithful to. We cannot be a faithful steward if we have a divided allegiance. Luke 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So where is your allegiance this morning? Where is my allegiance? Is it in serving God? Is it in being faithful? Is it in being a good steward? We're going to be held accountable for the kind of stewardship we have. Luke 16 and verse 2 again in the Bible reading. Give an account of your stewardship. Matthew 25, 31 through 33. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 2:16 lets us know that we're all going to give an account unto Jesus and unto God in the last day. We'll give an account of our stewardship. How are we going to stand up when the Lord judges us with the word that we have before us? John 12:48. The words that I have spoken unto you, Jesus said, will judge you in the last day. So, I need to be honest and I need to be responsible, and so do you, as stewards of God. And what God asks us to do is believe Him and obey Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Believe Him in what? Believe Him and obey Him. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, in your name do many good works. But I'll say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. So, God requires that I be faithful. He requires that you be faithful. As stewards, we need to be diligent. We need to take the proper care of everything that God has blessed us with, and that He's given us the responsibility to do in our life, and be faithful in that, so He can say, well done, my good and faithful steward, good and faithful servant. So then, the question for each one of us this morning is this. The question for me is, am I faithful to God? The question you ask yourself is, am I faithful to God? So, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can begin your faithfulness today by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing Christ, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Perhaps you're here as a Christian, one that's been baptized, and you haven't been faithful, and you need to correct something in a public way. Maybe you need the prayers of the brethren. If that be the case, then please come while we stand and while we sing.